Hey, listeners. Welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to remind you that you can get the show notes for this episode and every other episode at learntocodewith.me/podcast. And if you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast player you listen on. And if you're feeling particularly generous, a review would be awesome too. Here's a quick word from our sponsors who help make the show possible. Flatiron School's online web developer program focuses on community, actual development tools, and features a curriculum that will teach you the skills you need to land a career as a software engineer. Get $500 off your first month by visiting flatironbootcampprep.com. Want to transition from dead-end job to dream job? Fullstack Academy is one of the nation's top coding bootcamps with the curriculum, the career guidance, and most importantly, the community support to get you from where you are to where you want to be. Fullstack Academy, everything you need to land your dream job in tech. Check them out at fullstackacademy.com. In today's episode, I talk with Chris Castiglione, the co-founder and CEO of 1Month. We talk about what cryptocurrency is, what opportunities it's creating in terms of jobs, and what the future of crypto is likely to hold. Chris Castiglione is the co-founder and CEO of 1Month and a professor at Columbia University Business School. He teaches online and in-person classes on coding, digital literacy, and cryptocurrency, and he's passionate about using education to inspire positive change in the world. Chris also hosts a podcast and has written for several online publications. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Laurence, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's going well. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah.
So you have so much interesting experience to talk about, and I know we could talk about a thousand things today in this interview, but what I really want to dive into later is cryptocurrency in particular. To be honest, I never thought I would be talking about crypto and Bitcoin on this show, but it is such a hot and like booming topic right now. I feel like it really can't be ignored. And of course, you have a class on it over at 1Month. So definitely excited to get into that later in the interview. But first, I really want to dive into your background. How did you first get interested in technology?
In technology? I never really was that interested in technology until I was interested in music. I was a music major, and I had this problem I wanted to solve. I guess I was like sophomore year of college, and I just really wanted people to hear my music more. And so I'm dating myself a little here, but this is around the time of Napster. And I was just blown away by just this idea that you could reach so many people instantly around the world by just putting something on the internet. It was just this crazy idea to me. And I'm still like humbled and amazed, like, I think, by that, because, you know, around 2002, I was in college and stuff. So I just really had this problem I wanted to solve, where I was like, how do I make this happen for my music? And I just started asking questions and reading books and digging into it, and taught myself how to code. And I built a website that did, you know, just, it's right now it's a basic website. It's kind of like SoundCloud, but I built kind of like a SoundCloud player so that I could stream music online. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. That's how it started.
Ah, that's really interesting. And you're one of many guests that I've had on that have a background in music. I think it's really, I think it's really common for people to start off in music in one way or another and then move into technology. So I'm curious, what instrument, like, did you play, or was it multiple instruments, or what were you doing with music?
Yeah, I play a lot of instruments, but I guess my main one that I was good at was guitar. I played classical guitar and piano. And I was an audio recording major. I had a job in New York City during the summers doing like audio engineering for some bands and stuff. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. But then it bridged to tech. I don't know. Everything became technology at some point.
Yeah. So that's okay. So you start off in music, and then you built this like player online that was you basically built SoundCloud. No, just kidding. A version.
The junkiest version ever. 2002 version.
So you built like some music player online, and then one thing led to another, Okay, well, okay, there has to be some things, though, between starting 1 month, right?
Like 10 years.
So like, how involved were you in technology then after that point? And, like, what kind of things were you doing? Like, what kind of projects were you working on? Or were you working full-time?
So the music path does lend similarities to being a web developer, because I found that, like, the qualities of I wanted to, like, tour the world and, like, make money and, I don't know, just, like, have my own schedule and creativity as a musician. And I found that, wow, you know, I had this magical power where I could make websites, and I didn't even realize it wasn't cool. Like, back then it wasn't, like, cool, but people definitely needed this job. So out of college, I just, you know, I learned and was able to get some good consulting gigs where I could work on restaurant websites. Was like the first niche that I did. I would make restaurant websites. And I don't know, like, people, I put together a little portfolio online and I was getting work, and it was like the coolest thing, because I don't know, I got to travel around a lot and I didn't have to get a 9-to-5 job, which to me was like what I really didn't want to do. So I was just self-learning and just got deep into, like, just got really excited about creating things with code. So that was pretty much my path for about 6 or 7 years, as I was just working on websites, making websites, web apps, all that kind of stuff.
Wow. So you were like a digital nomad before that maybe became like a term people use.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah, I guess so. I lived in Japan and Asia and Amsterdam, and yeah, it was a great opportunity. Yeah.
So did you travel for the entire 6 years, or were you kind of like going back and forth from like the United States to different countries?
I traveled most of it. Yeah. Like most of my 20s, I was traveling back and forth, definitely. But like, it felt like most of it. Yeah.
So I had no idea that you had done this, and I had no idea you were going to talk about this. But I also know it's something that so many listeners and people who follow Learn to Code with Me want to do. They want to learn how to build websites so they can work remotely and maybe travel or do other things. So you were doing that for like most of your 20s, which is a considerably long time. What made you decide to kind of like give that lifestyle up, or kind of maybe you still travel a lot? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I do. I think the thing was, I mean, there was definitely parts in there where I would work at an agency for a year, which I thought was like a really, in retrospect, was a really good way to level, like, learn from different people and get some, I'm just like advice for people listening. Like, it was helpful to work on a project for a long period of time and then lots of short ones, only because some of the bigger names really helped boost the freelance aspect of it, you know? So it's like, if you get to work with a big name client, anyway, like, that was like my biggest learning that I didn't even know I was trying to do. But I was doing that for a while. And at some point, and I swear, like, I hope this doesn't sound pretentious, but at some point I just felt like things could be better than my managers, or like than like people were managing money, or I just feel like there was like more, because here's the thing, we were making products sometimes that would go out into the world and they would either never be used or break, right? And like, and just suffer. And it was just really painful to me, because I had switched to working with a lot of nonprofits in DC, and the thing was, like, they're raising money. And like, this is everybody's dream, or it's a lot of people's dream. It was my dream to, like, all right, now I'm going to help nonprofits, donation buttons, raise money, build email lists. Like, it seemed like there was a lot of positivity there. But I also saw a lot of just money being wasted. And this is around 2007, 2008. So I took off to do my master's during that while I was also working. And it was like during that time that I found UX, I guess is what you would say, of like, oh, we can test things before we launch them and build them for 9 months. And then when I started to learn about that, I just got really excited about the learning process, because I feel like a lot of money and problems could be solved without code. And so that's kind of the path I started going down, the education route from there.
Okay, I'm seeing the whole picture coming together here. So you began to learn more about UX, you began to become more interested in education. So what led you then to creating 1 month, an online course platform?
Yeah. So we created 1 month, me and my co-founder Matan, because both of us were self-starters. We had both taught ourselves how to code, and we had both seen like the impact that even just putting like a month on, you know, a few hours every week on the calendar, you can do some amazing things. At the same time, a lot of the educational materials, this is around 2012 when we were starting, they just weren't really great. There wasn't that much out there. We thought it was like it spoke over people's heads. So our whole idea was, let's create really high quality content that feels like you're hanging out with somebody at the bar, was like kind of what we'd always say. Like somebody's maybe having a drink, like a friend, and just like showing you how to get, you know, like the 80-20 rule, just like how to get like 80% of the good stuff first, not having to wait, you know, and go through all the boring stuff. So we created our first class about Ruby on Rails called 1 Month Rails. And and it was just like a huge success at the time. And from there, we just kept making more classes.
Yeah. So I actually took that class, 1 Month Rails. Nice. Yeah. In, I think, 2013 when I first started learning. And I remember, I think at the time you guys only had that course, maybe one other, or was just that one at the time. So it's definitely been interesting to see you guys grow and evolve. And of course you have multiple courses now on, you know, on 1 Month. But yeah, I do remember you guys were I had early exposure, I think, to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you still work at 1 Month, or you're still running 1 Month today, I should say. And okay, I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about some of these other courses you have. And I also want to talk about cryptocurrency, right? So you have these range of courses on 1 Month. You have a course, Learn Bitcoin and Ethereum. So, you know, obviously it's about cryptocurrency.
Yep.
What sort of, I guess, okay, so I kind of have two questions. So like, you know what? Let's just stick to cryptocurrency. I'm just going to do one. What led to you to get interested in cryptocurrency?
Well, I think I'm like you in the way where, when I started, I don't know how to start saying this. When I first heard about Bitcoin, I didn't really think all that much of it. This is around 2013. And we had just started doing Y Combinator. And when I went out to live in Silicon Valley, and I don't know, like it seemed cool, but I didn't quite get it. And I think it took me a good 6 months of hanging around with people that really saw the vision of it to get me excited. And at some point it just clicked. Like the more that I learned about the power that it had, I think for me, you know, specifically about putting power in the hands of people, not having to deal with middlemen like banks, you know, cutting down fees, and also the ability that it had to really impact other countries. You know, the US dollar is strong, you know, so it doesn't necessarily apply. Some people ask, like, you know, why do we need it? Well, in some ways we maybe don't need it all the time right now, but when you look at a lot of countries like, I don't know, Venezuela or Zimbabwe, you look at these countries, there's so much. That's just one example of like a million of the impact of having a digital currency and giving people, you know, there's billions of people who don't have access to online banking or banking at all. I just saw the vision for how revolutionary that idea was, and I got addicted immediately.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I had no idea what this was in 2013. To be completely honest, I didn't even realize it was around for that long. So let's like backtrack 2 seconds for me, and I'm sure some other listeners out there. Could you explain, like, we're five, what cryptocurrency is? And I know today there's a ton of different currencies, and I know all these different buzzwords, but like just like a basic explanation of what cryptocurrency is.
Definitely. So you guys have never talked about this before on the podcast, huh?
No, we've never talked about it. And to be honest, I feel like this is one of those things that, again, I hear lots of buzzwords. I could probably rattle off, you know, ICO, Ethereum, I hear like different apps, you know, all these different apps, Coinbase. And I know all these like words are just like floating around. But like for me, it's like, I don't understand the connection between them all. But like at a really basic level, just like what, cryptocurrency is.
All right, here's a basic primer that I think everyone should understand. So the first digital decentralized currency, this cryptocurrency, was called Bitcoin. People know that now, right? They know this idea of Bitcoin. And it was in 2009 that this came out. So it's been almost 10 years now that this came out, right after the bank crisis. This was actually in response to the 2008 bank crisis, of this idea that what if we could send money. Like if I could send money to you, right, without involving a middleman, without involving a bank that takes a fee, or, you know, if I use a credit card now, there's a 2.9% fee, and every time you send it, So a bunch of people have been working on this problem for decades, actually, but it wasn't until 2009 when somebody, or this group, nobody really knows, called Satoshi Nakamoto, published this white paper that gave this technological solution or possibility for sending money between two people without a middleman. So that's the first one that came out, and it took a few years before even the community or, you know, different people kind of caught on. People slowly read this. They didn't take it too seriously at first. And I think it's important to understand the promise of, because there's a lot of different ways that we could attack this, but the promise of it is that it's a possible global currency, which allows individuals to own their money, right? Because right now, like Laurence, like if the money that you have in your bank right now, you don't actually like own anything. I know that might sound silly, but like let's say you have even just like $1,000 in your bank account, you can't go down there and just say, "Hey, I want $1,000," and they might give you the dollars. But if everybody did that, there's not actually enough money, physical dollars in existence for everyone to go to the bank and get it. So does that make sense?
Yes. A little bit? Yes, I'm okay. Following.
Yeah. So the idea is like we already have this kind of digital currency on ledgers. Like the ledger is basically you sign into Bank of America and you can see your money there, right? And the idea of the way it is now is that we trust Bank of America to manage our ledger of money. We trust the stock market. We trust just some people we put our money in. But because it's centralized, there's a problem with the current system. The problem is things get hacked a lot, which you see all the time. Everybody's been hacked. Equifax, we see this all the time. So things get hacked a lot. And also people take fees out of everything. Every time you buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks, there's three different banks. And it takes about 5 days in between you swiping the card at Starbucks and that money actually getting deducted from your account. It's called clearing. We've probably used that term maybe colloquially, like, yeah, did the check clear or this kind of thing. So that's what's happening in between, you know, the world we live in right now. And what I found teaching, you know, especially at Columbia, teaching the course, is that a lot of people right now don't understand the way the world works right now, which is understandable because it's confusing. There's a lot, you know, a lot to understand with how credit cards, banks, the internet works, right? You know, I don't even understand how electricity gets to my house, right? I just plug in the thing in the wall, right? But because of that, I think the problem is it becomes really hard to understand blockchain, Bitcoin, a lot of these new terms, because these are offering solutions to limitations of our current system. So there's these problems I'm mentioning with the banks. There's also problems of centralization with the way the internet's working right now. You see things like net neutrality going away. You see things like big conglomerates like Facebook owns all of the eyeballs and your data. So the whole thing stemming from Bitcoin to all of these terms in the blockchain that are maybe confusing is this idea of decentralization is the main takeaway. And what if two people, you and me, can own our own data, own our own money without having to rely so heavily on third parties who take a cut and get hacked all the time? And so that's kind of like my pitch for why I'm so impressed by this technology.
We're taking a quick break from this interview to hear a word from our sponsors who help make the Learn to Code with Me podcast a reality. Flatiron School's online web developer program, community-powered bootcamp, and free bootcamp prep courses are perfect for anyone interested in a career change and becoming a developer. Flatiron students come from a range of backgrounds, from financial to creative. What they all have in common is the passion, grit, and determination to learn to love code. Flatiron's rigorous 800-plus hour curriculum will teach you the skills you need to land a fulfilling career as a software engineer. Learn to Code with Me listeners can get an awesome $500 off their first month to get started on that career change. Just visit flatironbootcampprep.com. One online Flatiron student said he'd learn more in a couple of days with Flatiron than a year of computer science classes. If you're interested in learning how to think like a real developer while using tools actual developers use, check out Flatiron's online web developer program at flatironbootcampprep.com and claim your $500 discount. Fullstack Academy is a leading coding bootcamp that helps students become great software developers and get jobs at top-tier companies. Fullstack's Advanced Software Engineering Immersive course gives you the skills you need to launch your dream career in tech. With a cutting-edge curriculum and supportive educational environment, Fullstack has helped graduates get jobs at companies like Google, Amazon, and Facebook, along with many others. Fullstack Software Engineering Immersive is taught on campus in New York City and Chicago and is accessible from everywhere through Fullstack's Remote Immersive. Go to fullstackacademy.com to learn more. Fullstack Academy, making great people into great developers. Okay, and I think that was like a phenomenal explanation that you gave. And you have this course on 1 month that relates to it, right? Is this also something you teach at Columbia, or what courses do you teach at Columbia?
Yeah, I have a course called Digital Literacy for Decision Makers, and it's in the business school. And the purpose of this course is it's business school students who, I mean, they're taking finance classes and strategy classes, all these business classes, and they want to be able to speak, like talk the talk of tech. You know, they don't want to become developers. They're not going to become the CTO or any of this kind of thing, but they just want to have like an understanding so that they can hire, manage, make decisions based on technology. So we look at this broad, in the digital literacy, we take a broad sweeping understanding, starting with what is the internet, and going all the way to what is cryptocurrency, blockchain, because it's by looking at the internet, like I was saying, and Tim Berners-Lee, the guy that, you know, invented HTTP and giving it to us, and then, you know, looking through all the things with the browser and hiring people and startups, like the whole history of things. And in that scope of it, you can understand the future and make better decisions. So that's the thesis, or that's what we work towards in the course.
All right. That's really cool. And that sounds like a really interesting course title as well, like the Digital Literacy for Business Makers, I think you said. Yeah. That sounds like a really, mm-hmm. that sounds really cool. So, okay. So I guess you do talk about some of this in the class at Columbia Business School as well. So, yeah. So I think the way you explained it was really, really interesting. Now, could you talk a bit about what you go over in the course you have then on 1 month? So it's called, again, Learn Bitcoin in Ethereum. You just gave us this really high level look at what cryptocurrency is. What are some of the topics you get into in this course?
Yeah, good question. So in the course, is on 1 month, and I like it because within an hour, you're doing stuff with Bitcoin. It's not just theoretical. And that's the way all of our courses are. You're either making a project, or in our startup course, you're like, the first few days, you're like getting an LLC. So we always try to find things for you to do, because I believe that experiential learning is how we actually understand and like even retain knowledge. So it's not just about like, what is Bitcoin? I mean, that's part of it. But what I have the students do is buy just $5 worth of Bitcoin, because I feel that, and what I've seen is that when students go through that, they start to learn on their own. They start to learn that one of the number one questions I get is, oh, but I thought you had to buy a whole Bitcoin, right? So right then you're learning, oh, you can buy just $5 worth of Bitcoin. And you get to understand what it means to then ask questions about, well, where is the Bitcoin actually? How do you store it? And then there's a few options for that. How do I send it? What sites can I buy things on? So the course in just the first hour is this journey of like, okay, you have $5 of Bitcoin. You know, what else do you need to know? Regulations, taxes, like we just kind of touch on everything based around this idea that you bought $5 of Bitcoin.
Ah, that's really cool. And that sounds really useful, because all those things you were just mentioning, I honestly have no idea how to do that. Like, I'm sure I could Google, how do I buy, you know, Bitcoin and da da da. And I've read different articles about different aspects of it. But yeah, that's definitely really cool that you answer all these questions after they buy this initial $5 of Bitcoin. So another thing that I want to talk about, this is what I think probably interests me the most relating to cryptocurrency, is all of these new job these new careers, these new industries, these new companies. There's all these crypto startups that are emerging. I mean, heck, there's even the term like crypto entrepreneur. Like, I don't think that term existed until
November.
Yeah, I was just, I was looking at something the other day with like Google.
3 months ago.
Yeah, literally. Like, yeah, like exactly. Crypto entrepreneur. So could you talk a bit about like the different kind of opportunities like we can sort of see in our day to day and how it's just like changing and what's happening because of it?
I mean, I will first say that just in case anyone's not located in New York or a major hub, the meetup and educate, like there's so much activity. I've never seen such a frenzy of really, but really passionate people who are excited to learn and contribute to this space as has been going on in New York City specifically the past few months. I mean, I've just been going to like at least one meetup every week and they are sold out. They are, you know, it's just people coming together, really smart people, really a lot of people know what they're talking about. And a lot of people are coming for the first time trying to learn. So you're totally right. There is a lot of attention and a lot of growth in the space. So it's a great time. I mean, if you're getting into this space, you know, talking to your audience of people who maybe want a job in crypto or want a first time entry level job or, you know, whatever it is, like if you put in some time to learn about this, I mean, I don't want to say like you can become an expert within a few months, but we're all trying to learn this, you know, right now. And so there is a lot of room to kind of find a niche and get a job. So I'm going to answer your question specifically. So like, I guess your question was like, how do you start getting into this world? Is that kind of the question? Or
well, I was wanting to, I guess, first hear about like how it's like what its impact is. And I'm trying to find now online the stat and I can't pull it up easily, but it was something insane, like the number of like crypto startup jobs that have emerged in like the last year, like 5,000. I don't want to make up the stat off the top of my head, but like some insanely large percentage increase. So yeah, I guess like if you just talk more about the different kinds of jobs and opportunities that people can get with this new industry would be cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. So there's a lot of different ways to kind of look at this because it's a growing market. Like it's all, people are trying to figure it out, right? So it's not like just one thing. And whatever it is today, it could be different in a year from now. With that said, I think one healthy way to look at this world is sometimes people compare these cryptocurrencies to stocks. And I think that there's like a comfortable metaphor there because you are putting in money and you're watching them rise and that's fine. But I think especially when talking about jobs, maybe a more accurate way to approach, you know, or to frame this world is in a way these are all little startups because behind every currency here or token or all these different projects is a group of people, every single one of them, you know. Some of them are distributed. Like the Bitcoin team is distributed to different parts around the world. Some of them are more centralized. Here in New York City, there's a big Ethereum community and team around the company Consensus, which is in Brooklyn here. So I think if you're interested in getting started and kind of trying to make sense of it, one way is to get just like to understand a sweeping broad overview of some of the different innovations and things. And if you find something that's exciting, really, I think that if you just go to the webpage or Reddit room, or a lot of these people have Slack or Telegram rooms where you can go and you can chat, you'll start to find that there's people behind this that you can connect with and, you know, potentially find work just like you would at a startup because there's people behind it and they're also looking to hire people.
Yeah, yeah. Really good. Really good advice there. And yeah, it's just the amount of information from in the press. I think you mentioned like meetups, job opportunities, everything is just totally, it's just totally booming. So it's definitely an exciting time for crypto. Is that the correct way to refer to it? Like just like cryptocurrency or some crypto market? Is that?
Good question. So as this evolves, if you say cryptocurrency, everybody knows what you're talking about. So it's totally fine. It's not wrong. As things are evolving, there's becoming a bit of a distinction between the cryptocurrencies on one hand, and then tokens or crypto assets on the other hand. And I think you're fine saying anything at this point in time, but as we kind of mature, I think what you might find is that cryptocurrencies speaks clearly to the types of coins that are competing with currency. So that would be Bitcoin is competing with, people say, gold or money. There's privacy coins like Monero and Zcash, these ones that are kind of like currency or money, but they're private. You can't see who sent it or received it or how much it's for. So there's certain types of the category of coins that are literally competing against currency. And then there's a whole other range of coins, and they each have their own function. And generally people refer to those as tokens or crypto assets more generally, et cetera, et cetera. But there's not really at this point in time a right or wrong way. That's just kind of how I hear people referring to them. So it's good to be aware of.
Yeah. So I know this is such a changing topic, and the terms and things are still being defined and figured out. But really on my show, I never really get too much into like, oh, the future of tech. Like I stay really like present, maybe a little bit into the future and you know, really things that can apply to people's lives like pretty much today. Mm-hmm. But do you see that these decentralized crypto markets or assets and all these things, like, do you think like there's going to be even more jobs that we don't even think of yet, that don't even have a job title yet, kind of like a crypto entrepreneur, but maybe other more specific roles that are going to spring up in the coming years?
Yeah. Here are some things that I really believe strongly and that I think most people in the community would agree on. So people look at the price of Bitcoin and the price of all these coins. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. It really doesn't matter when we talk about jobs, because even if they all went away tomorrow, and I don't know, maybe they will, probably not, but maybe, you know, what is important is the underlying technology that most of them are based on. And that's the blockchain technology. You've probably heard that phrase before. So that's the underlying technology, the main idea that people are using. That idea is so powerful and you know, it's, people compare it to as powerful as the internet. Who owns the internet, right? Nobody. I mean, you can make an argument probably both ways, but really nobody owns the internet. You know, if the government wanted to shut down the internet, they more or less couldn't, you know? And so it's the same thing. There's this innovation with money and decentralization of communication that is so powerful that it is definitely going to create, and it is creating and will create new job titles, new jobs. Who is going to be the coins, the companies? I have no idea. I mean, that I can't predict. And at the same time, we're going to still need these job titles that we have right now, like project manager, like, you know, developer, back end, front end. It's not necessarily like these are going away either. So yeah, to your point, I think there are going to be more jobs created. I don't know which coin it's going to be, but yeah, there's a lot of room for growth. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, yeah. I was just peering over AngelList put together a really good study. I don't know, maybe it was in January or December, but about some of the really looking at like startups and the crypto and cryptocurrency and crypto startups and like reasons to join one, trends in the community. So we'll definitely include a link to that in the show notes, because I remember reading through it and it was really interesting. And yeah, a lot of the jobs though that they have listed at crypto startups are still the same job titles. Like maybe the one I'm looking at right now, it's like senior software engineer, and in parentheses it's like AI blockchain. But then there's still things like product manager, software engineer, content writer, right? And these are all job titles that exist across the tech space.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. It was really exciting to talk to you and learn more about all this and your background. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, sure. I'm on a lot of different things. I have some free videos on YouTube. But I mean, I think the main thing is if you want to take one of the courses, onemonth.com is a place to go. I give out my email. So Chris@onemonth, if anyone has any questions for me about finding the right fit for what you want to do in your career with code. I mean, specifically, like, we're like Learn to Code in 30 days. So 1 month. And also I have a podcast. So if people, I talk about books that are life changing. So On Books podcast, you could find that on the podcast app and on Spotify. So check that out.
Great. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chris. If you want to start learning about cryptocurrency, you might want to take advantage of his special offer for Learn to Code with Me listeners. Chris's course is called Learn Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's hosted on 1 month, and you can get a 20% discount by going through my link at learntocodewith.me/Bitcoin. In this course, you'll learn how to talk about cryptocurrency, you'll buy your first fraction of Bitcoin, set up a cold storage wallet for it, send and receive cryptocurrency, and more. If you are more interested in learning how to code, you can check out Chris's other courses on 1 month and get 20% off by using the link learntocodewith.me/1month. 1 month is all one word, and the number one is written out in full as O-N-E, 1 month. I highly recommend his courses and hope you find them useful too.